We've got a red light, so we're off and running. Today we're going to look at the concept of reverence. We sang that in our song today, with reverence and awe, to have reverence for God. And we're going to look at some of the things that build a reverence for God in our lives. And the first thing that we're going to look at is humility. So today we're going to look at humility. But all of this, the next two, three times, God willing, and the creeks don't rise, we'll be building that, building the building blocks of reverence for God. And the thing we're going to look at today is humility and a posture of humility. I don't usually speak that way, like a posture of humility, but I understand what that means. When you think about a posture, is a positioning of your attitude, or it could be physical posturing. Have you ever seen somebody not say a word and you know that they're really teed off about you? By their posture, right? Or have you ever seen someone that looked afraid without saying a word, but their posture, quote unquote, let you know that they were afraid? Or have you ever seen someone's posture give away that they are happy as a lark, right? Or proud or something is wonderful, you know, so a posture. So today we're going to look at a posture of humility and what that means, a positioning really. It can be a physical positioning. What might be a physical posture of humility? Bowing. In our culture today, when we look at humility, the chivalry, we've all heard of chivalry, and basically chivalry was based on understanding reverence and understanding humility. You know, used to be when a woman walked into the room, what did all the men have to do? They would stand up. And when they left the room, what did all the men do? They stood up. When a man walked inside indoors, what's the first thing they used to do back when they used to wear them? Remove their hats. Because they had to? No, out of reverence. And that was a thing of in our world. And in the Bible, we see bowing. We see people laying completely prostrate on the ground. That's a physical posturing of humility. But the greatest one, what we're looking at really today, is right here in our hearts, where we position ourselves in a position of humility. And humility is not weakness. Humility is really a posturing of reverence, not weakness. C.S. Lewis used to say humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Some people are totally preoccupied with themselves in humility when we have a humility. And we're really talking about our humility unto God and our humility one to another because we are humble unto God. It always goes back to being humble unto God, and that's one of the building blocks. Being humble unto God, a building blocks of being reverent to God. And there's a whole bunch of blessings that are wrapped up in being reverent to God. A whole bunch of blessings. The number one thing is we develop an intimacy of relationship with our God and with our Father, because of the right understanding of our position. It's not that we're trying to make ourselves less, but by gosh, when we look at God Almighty, that we see Him for who He is, to the best of our ability and what He has revealed in His Word about Himself. So we're going to look at a few places in God's Word this morning to talk about humility, to talk about that posture of humility. And it really wraps up into being reverent unto God. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to the epistle, 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, and it's in chapter 5 that we'll start this morning. And I'm going to get a running start. Running start, it's talking about elders. It's talking about the shepherds. And if there's ever a group of people that constantly have to be vigilant about not being humble, it's usually those. It's one of the trip-ups. It's one of the stumbling blocks for a shepherd. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Who's writing this? Peter, right? Feed the flock of God, which is among you, and take oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre or gain, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that would be Christ, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of you. So is it just talking about the young people and the old people? All. Everyone is included. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom, the devil, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Humble yourselves, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace and favor to the humble. I think about this when we really start to understand God, get a glimpse of who he is, get a glimpse of what piece of the puzzle we are in this whole thing. And we see his greatness, and we see his holiness. We see that he's good. He's the God of all grace and favor. When we see his light, and in him is no darkness, not even a little bit, not even a smidge. He's all light. He's all good. When we see that he's a faithful God, and what he says, and what he means, and what he says is going to happen, is going to happen. Remember, he's the one, the Bible says, declares the end before the beginning. That's the kind of God we have. I can't do that kind of stuff. I can't wrap my head around that. How does he declare the ending? Because he's God. And then when we see ourselves and how we relate to such a great God, where we assume, where we position ourselves in a posture of humility. We do the positioning. God will help, but we position ourselves in a posture of humility unto God, unto His Word, unto the Spirit that works in us. Have you ever auditioned the Spirit of God when He tries to tell you something? Have you ever given God an audition when He's trying to tell you something? Have you ever chosen someone, something else other than what He wants in our revelation when he talks to us, that still small voice? Have you ever auditioned His written word? Well, I know that it says this, but. And then we think of ourselves in the concept of humility. Who are we to audition God's word for being the best? Isn't that funny? I laugh sometimes. I'll catch myself at this, and I will literally chuckle thinking, oh, fool. You know? But He does work within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we played the fool, and we do, everyone has that part written in the script. He's the God of forgiveness. He's the God of grace. He's the God of mercy. And He affords us, every second that we're still alive, we can turn unto Him. Every second we can turn unto Him. And we humble ourselves before Him, because He's God and we're not. Let's take our Bibles and we're right in the same neighborhood. Let's go to the book of James. This is my book. No. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. There's a ton of learning in the book of James about humility unto God. In chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Didn't we just read something very similar to that? He resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh, get close to God, and He will get close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Boy, this sounds bad. Be afflicted and mourn, and add and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is laughter and joy in stuff that we shouldn't be laughtering and joying about. Humble yourself, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Do you see a theme when God's talking about humility? Do you see how it's God that will be doing the one that exalts? Think in our heart of hearts. What example of humility is the ultimate example of humility when we read God's word? I think you get Christ. The Son of God. The Christ. The Messiah. The Anointed One. And He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself even unto the death of the cross. Philippians, right? Book of Philippians, if you want to bone up on that. What did God do about that when Jesus Christ humbled Himself even unto the death of the cross? He exalted Jesus Christ and gave Him a name which is above every name, and a name at which every knee shall bow, right? Is that a posture of humility? You bet. We get to do it out of joy and gladness. There will be a day those who rejected the Christ and who poo-pooed the Christ, thought little of the Christ, oh, they will bow. And every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When you look at Jesus Christ, he was the ultimate example of humility. Have you ever seen someone like get a promotion to a position or something? And all of a sudden they're strutting like a peacock and you wonder what the heck happened to them? They're not the same as they were before. They take on a whole new thing. And you look at him, it's like, ooh. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Messiah. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He humbled himself. He humbled himself out of obedience unto God. If he can do it and did it, maybe Jim could do it too. Maybe I should humble myself just a little bit. I oftentimes think about when I see Jesus Christ. When he comes back, when we're gathered together, I often think my face will be so close to the ground in reverence and in appreciation that I don't even merit looking up and getting a glimpse. When we have that kind of mindset, when we think about God, but yet he's our Lord, he died for us. When we have that kind of mindset and that kind of humility. And specifically today, we're looking at that humility unto God. We're going to go in the Old Testament for the next one that we're going to look at. There's so many. But this one deals with a whole nation. We heard a lot about that in our prayers this morning. 2 Chronicles. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You may have seen it on a bumper sticker or on a refrigerator somewhere. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Did you see the different ands? It's a figure of speech pointing out. You take a good look at that. People don't usually talk like that. So let's look at our ands because we can. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Pray, seeking him, and turning away from evil. Really, it's like avoiding it. Wickedness. I will hear you from heaven. Can God hear people even if they, yeah. This is what he wants. Why? Because it's his people called by his name. They're his own. He wants that relationship with his people. This was talking to Israel. This was talking to Old Testament. Who are his people called by his name today? The Christians. Yeah. And I think about this, you know, when I'm humbling myself and I'm seeing God for who he is as God, it makes me want to pray. It makes me want to talk to him. It makes me want to bare my heart before him when I see this. when I see him as God. And my positioning of myself is where it ought to be. Submitting myself to God because he's so great and so good and so powerful. He knows the end before the beginning. He tells us about the hope and the joys of the hope that he has set before us. Don't you want that? You know, doesn't that like light you up a little bit when you think about the creator of the heavens and earth knows who we are and loves us and proved it in the giving of his son and given us promises that some of which we have seen come to pass already in our lifetime and many more promises to come. Wouldn't that instill in us a position, a posture of humility unto that great God? And yet he calls us his children. He encourages us to call him Father. That's almost too good to be true, isn't it? But although we may call him Father, he is still God Almighty. And we have that position of humility towards him. It's just really amazing. We're in the Old Testament. The book of Micah. That may take a little while. It's in the quote-unquote lesser prophets after you've got the... You were right there. Jonah, Micah... Nahum. Jonah, Micah. I can get to Jonah a lot easier than I can Micah. Micah chapter 6. I believe Todd, in his graduating class, had this verse in their yearbook or in the something in your senior year. You totally, you remember. Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. This is another bumper sticker verse. It's a good one. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Isn't that a great verse? What's required of thee, O man? What does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's a good one, huh? Now, we're going to go into the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at just a sum of the humility verses that are in Proverbs. What are the book of Proverbs? To give wisdom unto young men and sometimes old men. Proverbs. There's so many. And when we go to the book of Proverbs, we're starting in Proverbs 3. There's so much wisdom in these Proverbs. And you don't necessarily have to see the word humble to see the concept of humility in these Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For, why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck and write them on the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding, or good success, in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. When we trust in the Lord and we don't lean on our own understanding, it's a humble thing. It's a humble thing. It's a position of humility where we know where God is, who God is, and we know who we are and where we are. And then we see the benefits. Length of days, health. It's in there. Pride is the opposite of humility. And when we look at these proverbs, all the times you'll see pride and humility playing off each other. So if you go to Proverbs 11, every man alive deals with pride. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly or the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16. We're just going to dance through here. Because Proverbs are probably, if you're having trouble like getting into the graceful rhythm of reading God's word every day, Proverbs is usually a place to kickstart that. Read a proverb of a day, each day, and you got the whole book done by the end of the month. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride cometh before a fall. And the opposite of pride is humility. And remember, humility is not weakness. It's just a posture of reverence unto God. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear or reverence of the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah, Yahweh. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. These are proverbs unto us for wisdom. There's so much to remind ourselves of that. I'm looking for one. I hopped over it. I am sorry. We're going to have to go back to Proverbs 3. Forgive me. I was looking for it. I was like, you know what? I didn't. There it is. I call this my Walmart verse because I ask God to forgive me. Verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, or he mocks the mockers, and he giveth grace unto the lowly or the humble. You ever looked at people and thought, mocking, scorning, belittling of thought? I know it was a guy, if he was 400 pounds, he was an ounce, wearing pajamas and flip-flops next to me, and I'm thinking less of him than me. testify. Forgive me, Father. Who made that man? God did. Is it up to me to make fun of that guy? Even if I'm not making fun of him to anybody else, but inside this old being. Am I that much better? Have I lived through what that man has lived through? Do I have any right to judge him by his appearance and his clothing? I'm not an advocate of pajamas during the day. But who am I to judge that? Todd's wearing pajamas today. No, he's not. But, you know, I don't know what's going on in that person's life. I haven't lived the lives. I haven't walked a mile in his shoes. I don't know. And yet I can scorn or I can mock. It's a thing, isn't it? It's a thing to mock. But especially when you're mocking God's people, and the world will. And they'll make fun of us. They'll say, how naive. They'll say, oh, right. You believe in that invisible God, don't you? How about this? What do you mean? You don't want to participate in the evil things that we're participating in? It's normal. Everyone does it. You can see it on TV. And can mock the word, that can mock God, who can mock the Lord Jesus Christ. I quit watching one animated comedy on TV. Because they would cross the line, they would mock the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's it. He don't touch that. They're mocking my Lord, the one who died for us. But mockers, God will mock the mockers. Hopefully, prayerfully, I won't be one. And we're going to end this morning. There's so many wonderful verses in Proverbs. Just reading through the book of Proverbs, have that mindset of looking to see humility in the wisdom of Proverbs, looking to see the humble in the book of Psalms. We're going to end in the book of Psalms, right towards the end of Psalms, Psalm 149. You go to 150 and back up one. Psalm 149. It's one of those psalms you just read the whole thing, but we're going to key in on verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 4. For the Lord, that's God, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify or adorn the meek. And this word meek here is the same word as it's translated humble in Hebrew all the time, most of the time. He will beautify or adorn. Think of like metals. Think of like some adornment. He will beautify or adorn the humble. And he's going to adorn it with what? Jewels? Position? Nope, he's going to adorn the humble with salvation. Basically, that means deliverance. He's going to adorn the humble with deliverance. He's going to adorn the humble with deliverance. So many places we looked at today just talks about the beautiful quality of the posture of humility towards God, towards his word, towards his people. The posture or the positioning of our attitudes and hearts in humility towards God, all with a view towards building that reverence that we have for our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen.